Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Another fantastic day after the long weekend. I hope everybody's refreshed. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. I have episode 65 here. We're growing. And I have the lovely Trish Marks in the studio. How are you doing, Trish?
Very well, Darren. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, chatting with you today, Trish. And we're going to be chatting all about stopping self-sabotage, which sounds like a very interesting topic and something that we can all learn a lot about.
Absolutely.
But before we jump in, I thought I'd give everybody a little insight into who Trish is. So Trish Marks is a business coach who specializes in stopping self-sabotage. She started her business, Marks Consultancy, in 2012. However, it wasn't until she was diagnosed with cancer in 2017 that it led her to specialize in this area. Today, she uses the lessons she learned to help business leaders change the way they approach challenges and problems to improve performance. So we're going to be chatting all about how what you tell yourself is so crucial to success. So Trish, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Happy to be here.
Oh, fantastic. You're looking very well. I love, as I mentioned earlier, I love the backdrop. I love the chair in the background. I love the Irish accent.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. You won't have subtitles, will you?
That's a good one. If I need some, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But Trish, tell us a bit about you, something that I haven't already covered.
Well, I came to Australia. I'm from a small town in Northern Ireland. Beautiful little town surrounded by the Sperrin Mountain. Yes. And I came here in 1988 after watching the Bicentennial.
Oh, okay.
I thought that's the place to go.
Wow.
And I wanted to go somewhere I was far enough away so that when things became a little hard, I wouldn't just go home again.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done. I almost forgot about the Bicentennial. Wow.
Yes, that was one of the reasons I came. So, look, as soon as I arrived in Australia, I arrived in Melbourne, I just felt at home, and I have felt at home ever since.
Lovely. And we were chatting just earlier before we started recording how much you love Melbourne and how it reminds me of Europe as well.
Yes.
Well, I agree with you. I think Melbourne has got so much style and culture.
Oh,
yeah. All my Melbourne friends down there and family, shout out to you all down there in Melbourne.
Yeah, the food in Melbourne is just magnificent. I love the food. That was one of the big reasons I stayed.
The food is great. And all the little wine bars and the little laneways.
Yes.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah.
But in terms of what we're going to be chatting about today, obviously stopping self-sabotage and mindset is your sweet spot. That's an area that you're very passionate about.
Yes.
Tell us a bit more about, you know, why that's so so much of an interest, of a core interest and a core passion for you.
Well, the simple reason that I'm really focusing on self-sabotage is, as you mentioned before, I was diagnosed with cancer in 2017. Mm-hmm. And I had a business prior to that, but just after the diagnosis, and everything went extremely well, I have to say. The surgery went fine. Right. But was the emotional impact that I wasn't prepared for after everything else. Yep. And that really took a lot out of me. It floored me. Mm-hmm. And I became very, very depressed and a high level of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed in that, it took me nearly 2 years to come out of that cycle. Wow. And I noticed in that time just where the root of the problem was. And I was just in my own way, basically.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come to that realization? Did you come to that yourself, or did someone point it out, or was it a bit of both? Or?
Well, look, with my past experience coaching and mindset, I started to realize that where my thoughts were when I would wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. what I was focusing on.
Yep.
And I started to listen to what I was saying to myself.
Yep.
And although I went through like a real struggle physically. Mentally, it was that kept me down, because I kept saying to myself, I should be grateful that I'm alive, you know, but I was feeling absolutely awful and I was sick, and it was just not a nice place to be. So the more that I told myself what I should be doing, the more I resisted doing it.
Right.
And the cycle you get yourself into, then the fear, you're just gripped with fear.
Wow.
Because and you're paralyzed with that kind of fear. So then for that just digs you deeper and deeper into that cycle of self-sabotage.
Wow.
And so I did realize that myself, and I had to start challenging my thinking very early on, but I realized I couldn't do it on my own either.
Yeah.
So I had to get some help to clear the pathway.
Yeah, and kind of rewire in a way. That's what they call it.
Yeah, I had to rewire.
Reinstalling the software, they call it.
Yes, because the longer I was in that cycle, the more it became a habit.
Yep, yep, yep.
And you just done it unconsciously.
Yep, yep, yep. Wow. And how much of that do you think is linked, if we take it more in general terms, how much of that and mindset is linked to confidence or lack of?
Well, look, our confidence comes from our level of belief in ourselves.
Yep.
I mean, we all develop our belief very early on in our life through our environment, our parents, teachers, whatever it is, or experiences, they play a major part on how we feel and see ourselves.
Yeah, and our internal dialogue, really.
And our internal dialogue, yes, you know. However, because I notice, I believe, in my opinion, that everybody has confidence in some area of their life.
Yeah.
And for example, I've noticed in my clients that when a client comes to me and they have a challenge, and we look at an area in their life, Darren, where they have confidence. And the one thing that I notice that is present is they have a level of trust in themselves.
Yeah.
So, that comes across as certainty.
Yep.
So their self-talk is positive. They're certain about it. They know themselves. They know what they can do.
Yep.
And so on the other hand, when there's when we look at an area that there's a lack of self-confidence, you'll find that trust is very low.
Mm.
So that will create that'll come across as uncertainty.
Gotcha.
And the more uncertainty that we're in, that's when the narrative gets louder.
Yes. And that's really fascinating to me, in that why is it that people can be really confident in a certain area of their life, then lack confidence in another?
Yes.
Can't they draw from the same well when they need it?
Because the belief is that the difference between being certain and uncertain, if you have an unhealthy relationship with uncertainty in your world, you will self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
You will self-sabotage. And so it's really not about, confidence isn't necessarily about our ability to do something.
Yep.
It really comes down to how we see ourselves.
Yeah.
So when we're in that space of uncertainty, we see ourselves as somebody who doesn't know what is coming next, and we're not sure how to handle the unknown.
Gotcha. Because that's the key word, really, the unknown.
Yes, the unknown.
Because when we've already done something and achieved something, we're very confident and our internal dialogue is strong.
Strong.
Because we know we can do it because we've already done it. But when something's uncertain, it's uncharted waters, we start to self-sabotage in our thinking because we don't know what's going on.
That's exactly right. Like, and if we don't have that strong self belief in ourselves, that's where the self sabotage becomes louder. And during that period, I lost a lot of confidence in myself, and so therefore, that's why I was so hard on myself.
We
become very hard on ourselves because we think we should do everything.
Yeah,
we think we should know everything.
And
so then you got that little boy saying, why don't you know that? Why aren't you doing that? You know you should do that. And it's
Wow. And what about in terms of business? I mean, what do you think are the main barriers for people when it comes to confidence or non-self-sabotaging behavior in business?
Well, self-sabotage will show up in a great place in business, because what will happen is 92% of people, according to Inc. magazine, 92% of people never achieve their goals.
Really? 92%? Wow.
92% never achieve their goals. So when and in your workplace, if you're not planning to set goals and achieve things, then you're planning to fail.
Right, yep.
And if you're not focused, you're going to start becoming disengaged. And if you start disengaging, procrastinating, your self-sabotage comes in. And it makes a big impact on your level of engagement.
Yep.
According to COSEN, which is an online PR group, 64% of people avoid doing something because they think it's too hard.
Yeah.
Until they do it.
Definitely.
So
I mean, I would agree with that. Even me. I mean, I'm a procrastinator in some periods too, and I just say no.
Yeah.
Get on with it. Just do it and start, and you'll find your way. But we all have, and why do you think we tend to do that? Is that it's just a comfort thing? It's stepping out of our comfort zone.
Well, we're hardwired to look at the negative in life.
Right.
Yeah. And our brain is there to keep us safe.
Yeah, it's protection, really.
Yes, protection, really. Yeah. So it likes to keep us in that comfortable sort of place.
Yeah.
And if you step out of it, it's going to say, well, you know, are you sure about this? Do you want to do this?
Yeah.
And as soon as you open that dialogue, well, there'll be thousands of reasons why you shouldn't do something.
Yeah.
As well as thousands of reasons why you should, but because we focus on the shouldn't, this is what stops us from taking that step forward. And it's never as bad as we think it's going to be.
Definitely. And funny enough, and once you overcome that barrier,
yes,
you can start, and you usually do, you start to enjoy it.
You start to enjoy it. And every little challenge you set yourself builds your confidence.
That's true.
It does. So
slowly you become more confident because you know you've overcome certain barriers before. You can do them again. And then the more you do it, it's like training. The more you do it, the better you become, and the more confident and the more resilient you get in the wider sense.
That's right. Yeah. So you just got to keep pushing yourself to do that, take that extra step. Never going to be. And we all know in ourselves that we really can do much more than we bring to the world.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Going back to the environment that we're living in, it you can see that it has an impact on people putting themselves out there and backing themselves.
Yeah.
It becomes too easy to sit back and let somebody else take the responsibility sometimes.
That's right. I know.
Very comfortable.
It's very comfortable.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we do like that.
Yeah. Because as you say, it's the inertia. We don't want to actually start making massive changes. We just want to let everything run the way it's always run. It's safe. It's comfortable. It's warm. Fine. No problem at all. But you don't really grow if you don't challenge yourself.
You don't grow. You don't grow. And according to Stanford University, 84% of people never reach their full potential. Yep. They always feel unfulfilled potential.
Yep.
So you can't live like that. You've got to put yourself out there regardless of what, the outcome is. But if you're clear in who you are and you're confident in who you are, then you'll get the result you're looking for.
Yep, I agree. One way or another.
One way or another.
Sooner or later, you'll get what you want. And that's the key too. I think people have to remember that it takes time. It's a journey. You can't make a change and then expect the result tomorrow.
No. And you need to be aware of your own self-talk. Need to lift that awareness, because 36%, according to Forbes, 36% of people can identify their own emotions. So that leaves 64% who have no idea what triggers them and what triggers that self-talk that stops them from reaching their full potential.
Isn't that interesting? Wow. Yes. And that's really, we're talking about self-awareness and
emotional
intelligence. And
yes, absolutely. That's where the key lies, knowing who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, knowing who you are.
Yeah, and I think I read or I heard the other day that you have to really know who you are first before you can understand others.
Absolutely, and especially in this crisis now where we're all trying to keep the community safe and people we know safe, but we're not keeping ourselves safe. No. We aren't going to be any good to anyone else. Yep. So really, any change starts with you. Yep. Starts with you.
I love it. Powerful words. I love it.
Yes.
Now, Trish, I kind of want to ask a slightly off-tangent question, but yeah. It's connected or not, you let me know. How does fear and guilt play into this? And are they connected in some way? Or it's just they're byproducts of the whole process?
That's a great question. I love that one because, you know, I come from Ireland where, you know, we have a big family, big Catholic family. So guilt was always by your side growing up. If you weren't guilty, well, you had to be guilty because you weren't guilty.
I love it.
And like fear is when you don't trust yourself enough to take a risk.
Yep.
And I believe, like in my experience, I believe guilt really is when we compromise our own self-worth.
Right. Yep.
So they coexist just as a result. This leads to self-worthlessness and inferiority. And those are the feelings that I struggled with during that dark period.
Wow.
So I knew that I was fearful about cancer coming back. I was fear about not getting well again. But and I was guilty about not feeling grateful,
yep.
You know, and that just drives self-sabotage.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So they're all connected, really. All the negative self-talk and all the negative aspects are all connected in some way.
All connected in some way. One thing leads to another. They're all different levels of self-sabotage and self-belief and non-self-belief. So, yeah, very interesting we are.
Yeah, we are very innocent creatures. But if we try and, you know, if we turn the table a little bit and if we say, how do we now make sure that we don't fall into that trap? And if we are in that trap, how do we get out of it?
Yes, that's a great question. Well, I recommend finding someone that you can trust. Yep. To help you. You can never do anything on your own. Yep. And as Albert Einstein said, that we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking that we created them with.
Oh, I love that. It's such a
So very true. But if we haven't got someone in front of us, then we need to look at maybe start looking at setting ourselves little challenges.
Yep.
That's what I've done. I set myself little challenges in the day. Just to get through the day. And so that gives me a level of success, small gains.
Yep.
So it starts to build your success and your belief in yourself that you can do this and your confidence level. Mm-hmm. So the higher you build your confidence, the lower the self-sabotage talk becomes.
Yeah, I love that. I really love it. Little baby steps.
Yeah, little baby little steps. Baby You've steps. Got to do that. You've got to start somewhere.
And I suppose the more baby steps you take, you start to form a new habit and that becomes the new norm and then you can take bigger ones.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
I love it. Do you have elephants in Ireland? No.
Nope.
Fantastic.
But we do have television.
And I love it. So Trish, in terms of what you do, I mean, tell us a bit more about how you exactly work with your clients, your colleagues, and, you know, the programs and the way that you...
Yes. So when a client comes to me and we've realized that we have a connection and that level of trust is there, then I go through a discovery session with them. So I listen to them, I find out, you'll learn a lot from someone just by listening to how they chat, their communication. You can learn a lot from their communication.
Yep.
And how in the language in itself, where the level of self-sabotage is.
Yeah. And the body language as well, I would say.
Yay, body language is big. Yeah. Well, our 7% is verbal, and the other 93% is nonverbal. So that's a big piece of the communication that we forget and we ignore.
And we're not even aware of it as well.
Not even aware of it. However, if someone was in front of you and what they were saying wasn't congruent with their body language, you would believe their body language before you believe their words.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with
that. So, yeah.
I've always been fascinated by the field of subcommunication, and that's what we talk about when we talk about nonverbal, isn't it?
Yes.
Subcommunication. I love that.
Oh, I love it. I'm fascinated by that too, Darren. I adore that. Yeah. And so we go through a discovery chat, look at the, what challenges they want to work through. And one of the first things that we do, I've got a behavioral tools and emotional tools that I put them through that. But one of the key things that I look at is getting them to understand what's important to them. So we look at their values. Yep. They need to be very clear on their values and not just the things that they rattle off on the top of their head. I take it a little deeper than that.
Okay. So more than just, I like to have so much money. I want to go so many holidays. I want to have so many cars. I want to have so many friends, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, when they say something like that, I always ask, you know, how is that showing up in your life at the moment? You know? Wow. And it's not, so it's something that's showing up in your life that's important to you.
Yep. I like that.
So when you're clear on what's important to you, these are great reference points and foundations for stability.
Yep.
In your business and in your life, because you are an extension. Your business is an extension of you.
Yeah. And you get people obviously that come to you with all sorts of different issues, whether they're business related, personal related. You're happy to tackle any of them.
Yes, absolutely. Because usually it stems from what you're telling yourself.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point. I mean, I was doing a previous podcast and we kind of came to that we brought that up to the surface that every time I speak to anybody that works in a similar field, doesn't matter whether they treat business-related issues or personal-related issues, the core of it is always the same. It's the personal background and the inner dialogue.
Yeah. We're our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
Mhm. And we just need to get out of our own way.
Yep. And in terms of how you work, do you work over a period of time? Are you like their coach for what they need, or you have a program?
So we do like a 3 months program. Or we can do longer, we extend that 3, 6, and 12 month programs. And then there's a structured program within that I work within.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And get the results. They need to, when someone comes to me, if they're just looking for someone to have a conversation with and take all this knowledge and just sit with it, then they're not a match for who I want to work with. My clients are all ready and they know. So many times, Darren, I've had clients come to me and they say, I feel there's something in an invisible force field that's just holding me back.
Yep.
Something that's within me that's causing me to sabotage my own success.
Oh, wow.
And so they're aware of that much. And if you're aware of that much and you know something has to change, well, then I'm your woman.
So that's when there's a match, when someone's already made that realization that there is something in the way, that they're self-aware enough to know that they are self-sabotaging.
Yes. So that's the type of person you want to work with. Because I can't make the change. You're making the change. Yep.
You're just facilitating.
I'm facilitating the change. That's exactly right. Like that. So if you're expecting me to make your change, then you're not going to get the outcome you want. And I don't want to take anybody on that's not going to get what they want.
Yep. I love it.
Very so, true. Yeah, they have to take on their own responsibility. You have to be your own. So I challenge your thinking. I challenge you.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure you do.
You know. So
yeah, I'd love to hear, because I always ask for examples or case studies. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear an example or two of maybe, obviously being extremely confidential, but, example of maybe a case study of how you've really helped someone over a period of time and you've changed their life.
Yes, for start off, I'm one of my great case studies because I'm an example of what I use. Yeah. However, I've had examples for, someone who's extremely successful in the corporate world.
Yep.
And they came to me, they had retired and they were looking for a new direction in their life. Yep. However, they felt that there was something stopping them from moving forward. And they couldn't really get any clarity around how they wanted to place themselves in the world. Nice. So after sessions with me, they realized actually that the dialogue that was going on in their head was coming from a perception of an incident or an experience they had when they were a younger child.
Really? That they still carried?
And they carried, and what they were telling themselves was preventing them from stepping into their true self and their full potential.
Wow.
Because at the end of the day, we all know that we can bring more to the world. Yep. But we're not sure what's stopping us and why we're preventing ourselves. So once you're aware, so you take them through and you get them to look at the situation from an adult perspective,
yep,
instead of a child perspective, which we do. When we have a memory, we go back as that person.
Yeah.
We don't go back as an adult and look at it from an adult's perspective, and what are the learnings we can take from this? So you get them to take the learnings from that, and it shifts.
It does,
yeah. How they see themselves.
Yeah.
So the more movement they take and committing to change in that way, and more clarity they get around who they can become.
Gotcha. And one of the things that I'm thinking while I'm listening to you is that, obviously there's, there's the field of coaching and mindset work that you do, but there's also psychology and psychiatry and et cetera, et cetera. And if they all, if the core of the problem is still a lot of the time our inner dialogue and our baggage and what happened in the past, how are those fields different? I mean, how is a coach, you might deal with different things than a psychologist would or a psychiatrist would. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Hippie, I'm not a psychologist. And I always make that clear, that I don't have a psychology degree. However, I think I have never been to a psychiatrist. Psychology, I've had chats with them, definitely. So they're more about finding the resources within you and going over what's happened. I think psychiatry is medicated.
Yeah, that's true.
Solutions.
Psychiatry is more
medicated. I don't medicate you at all. I might try to hypnotize you a little, however. But a difference with psychology and coaching, in my opinion, is that we're looking at moving you towards where you want to go. So we're equipping you with the resources that you already have.
Yep.
We're just helping you to identify them.
Gotcha. And you might just need a little bit of acknowledgement of what you are holding on to allow you to go forward.
Shifting your perception. Look, if you shift your perception, you've changed what you're focusing on, mm-hmm, and you've changed your view about whatever the issue was.
And once you change your view, you can't go back.
You can't, And when you change your view, you can see different possibilities then. Many more possibilities.
When you open up a door that you never knew was there, you never keep that door closed anymore.
Well, that's right. So it's just that's the difference, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. I love it. Mm. And, if people want to, just out of interest, there's so many great coaches out there as well. If people want to choose a coach, what's your advice for how to best find a coach or choose a coach that that fits with you?
Well, look, you need to find someone that you can trust.
Yep.
And to build trust, you need to be able to connect with them.
Yep.
So if you, like I've had a client who said to me, I just felt safe with you.
Nice.
Yep. And when we feel safe, then we're open up.
Yep.
And so there's no point in getting a coach because they have a great name, but you don't have that connection. What? Because you're not going to be honest enough to create the change. You're only going to let them know what they want to hear.
Yep, yep, yep.
Not what's really mattering to you. Gotcha. So that's the difference when you have that really good connection. Gotcha. You know you can say what you really feel. Yep. You know what you can tell is your real challenge. Because half the time, most of the time, Darren, people would tell you what you want to hear or what they think you want to hear.
Yep.
And you have to go a little deeper to find out what's really going on.
Yeah, you have to make them a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Resistance.
Yeah, and I can imagine that, it's hard for people to know without having a 30-minute conversation with you or an hour conversation.
Yeah, well, look, a chat.
Get a sense of, I've got to click with you or not.
Yeah. And that's right. And look, it's even quicker than 30 minutes. You'll know right away if you connect with someone or not, don't you?
Yeah, that's
because,
true.
Because
5-10 minutes, I suppose.
5-10 minutes. Yeah. And if they're not talking your language, you think, this person doesn't get me.
Yep, gotcha. I like that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so they're not going to go any further with it. And and it's the same from the coach's perspective. If they're not listening, then they're not hearing you, and they're not going to ever hear you.
Yeah, there's no fun for you either.
There's no. So there's this resistance on both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
So to create change, you need to be open. You need to be ready.
Yeah.
And you need to feel safe enough to take those steps.
Yeah.
So
it's really just trusting your gut and making sure that you really resonate with somebody.
Yes.
And giving it a go and seeing what happens.
Yes. Uh-huh. And you can do that, as I said, very quickly. You'll be able to pick up if people have the same values as you.
Yeah, true.
You know, if there's a congruency there. And that's why I feel it's important to get your values, know your values. It helps you make decisions.
Yeah, I like that. Like it's kind of, I wouldn't have thought that would be something that came into it, but obviously it does because it underpins how we talk to ourselves.
Yes. There are reference points for decision-making.
Very, very interesting.
Mm.
Wow, Trish. And so, Trish, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, yes, if they want a quick chat, they can drop into my website, which is www.marksconsultancy.com.au. You'll find me on LinkedIn. You can PM me, or I'm on Facebook as Trish Marks.
Okay, lovely. And I'll put all those links in there for everybody out there.
Fantastic.
But really appreciate you coming on. I think that was a fascinating discussion. And I always love to tackle these kind of topics because I learn more and more about myself every day as well.
Yeah.
We all do. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I always like to ask the guests to leave our audience with one or two tips that they can put into place straight away, even before they come to see you.
Yes.
Just to help them on their journey. Anything that you'd like to give them?
Well, as I said before, start giving yourself tiny little challenges.
I like that. Yep.
That's the way to conquer the small stuff and you'll build your confidence.
Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. And the next one I would say is stop determining your self-worth by comparing yourself to others.
Oh, I like that. That's gold.
Yes. You know, it doesn't work. You know, we're all different. I heard a word the other day, which I love to use now. It's called, we've all got diffabilities.
Diffabilities.
Diffabilities. I love it. I think that's brilliant. Why?
I love it.
To describe our differences.
Yep.
And our abilities. We've got diffabilities. So stop determining your self-worth by comparing. And the third one I would say is focus more on looking at your mistakes as opportunities. Darren, we're all going to make mistakes.
Look at that.
We are all going to make mistakes. And then it just happens. It's part of life.
Yeah.
So look at them as opportunities, not failures, not why did I do that?
Absolutely. Opportunities to learn and grow.
Learn about yourself. What triggers you? What making you say that?
Yep. And do it.
So those would be the three things I would look at. Fantastic.
That's sensational advice, Trish. I really appreciate that. Great advice for all of us out there.
Yes.
Doing our thing every day.
Yes.
Once again, really appreciate you coming on the show. I think that was extremely insightful, and you know, hopefully you've helped a lot of people as well. Just really start to understand themselves, and I got a lot out of that as well. So thank you very much, Trish. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Darren, for having me. I've really, really enjoyed this morning. Fantastic. Thank you.
And for all the audience out there, we hope you enjoyed. If you want to give Trish a call, I'm going to give all her details in the show notes. So give her a buzz or send her an email. And for everybody out there today, have a great one. And we'll see you tomorrow for another great episode of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. Bye for now.